I wonder if you're worried about this morning's sermon as we look at, is Christianity peace for the anxious? I am, even more than I normally am when I'm preaching a sermon, because there's a very real sense in which I am the worst person in the world to preach this sermon. I worry about everything. A couple of months ago, I had to take Jude to his first football training. I worried all day about, would we get home in time from the bus? Would we get there on time? Would the coach be able to cope with Jude? Would I be able to cope with the coach as a former coach? Would Jude behave himself? Honestly, I got hardly any work done all day because I worried all day. Now, hopefully, you're not as extreme as I am. But we all know the feeling, don't we? 2 o'clock in the morning, you wake up. The brakes were making a funny sound on the car. That thing at work, that friend, that relative. We all worry. And we're not helped particularly by the advice we give each other when we worry. The advice we give each other when we worry was summed up for me this week in a little sketch I saw of a woman going into a psychiatrist, and he said, "Sit down, tell me all your problems." She said, "I'm terrified of being buried alive in a box." And she said, "It affects my whole life. I can't go in anything boxy. I can't go in a tunnel. I can't go in a shower. I can't go in a house." He said, "You mean you're claustrophobic?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "Don't worry. I'm going to give you 2 words now. Sort out all your problems." He said, "What?" "Stop it." She said, I don't get it. He said, "Stop it, it's stupid, stop it." But so often that's how we approach people who are anxious or worried, isn't it? "I'm really stressed at the moment." Perhaps today your first thought is, "Hang on, those soldiers in the trenches, they were stressed and worried. You're not. You're only 5, you've never had any troubles." Stop it, stop it, stop it. Have we got anything better to say than that? Is Christianity peace for the anxious? Is it any better than just stop it? I think there is, and in this passage, I think we've got 5 causes of anxiety and their cures. I'm sure there are loads more causes. Depends how anxious you are. Depends how messed up I am. Maybe that's not true for you. But we're going to look at these 5 causes and the 5 things the Apostle Paul says we can do about them. So let's look at the first one. And let's think that sometimes we feel anxious because I feel alone. Think how the Philippians felt here in verses 1 to 3. They'd had the Apostle Paul plant their church. It was a bit of a messed up church anyway. You've got someone who used to be possessed by a demon. You've got a really rich businesswoman. And you've got the retired soldier who tried to kill himself. It's not an auspicious start, is it? And trouble arises in the church, verse 2, as these two probably really powerful, connected, influential women are arguing with each other. And Paul's not there. The guy who sorted everything out for them, the guy who told them what to do, he's not there. Probably the leaders in the church are thinking, what do we do now? We're all alone. We don't get what to do. We need Paul to help us. We're worried we can't sort it out. There's no one with Paul's authority. How, as a man, do you confront a really powerful, confident, clever woman? How do you convince them? The leaders here, and maybe others in the church, are really probably anxious about talking to these ladies and sorting it out. They feel alone without Paul's help. And perhaps that's true for us. Perhaps we feel most anxious when we're thinking about doing things that scare us by ourselves. When you're the one with all the responsibility, when there's no one there to help you, there's no one there to tell you what to do, no one there to make decisions for you, no one to put their arm round your shoulder. When you're in a new place or meeting new people for the first time. Been away at a conference this week, and I've been to a few of these things now, and I'm quite happy to just go in and sit by myself. The first one I went to, I was absolutely terrified. Just because you walk into a room with 500 other people and you don't know anybody, what are you going to do? Or perhaps it's that time at work when you've been trained up and that person at work says, you're on your own now. Perhaps it's when something goes wrong with the car and you kind of don't want to go to the mechanic and say, I ain't got a clue. And especially if you're a bloke and you go to the mechanic and you say, I ain't got a clue. Lads, you know what it's like, don't you? He looks at you like, you are an idiot. You're not worthy to be a man. And you can get anxious about it. Because you're on your own. You're in charge. Only you can do anything about you. And the world around us has great solutions for these things, doesn't it? For feeling anxious because we're by ourselves. Perhaps it says, surround yourself with people who can help you. Surround yourself with people who can make your decisions or hold your hand. But that's just unhealthy, isn't it? Because it leads to dependence. You never face up to your anxieties. You never sort it out. You just cover it up. Or the world around us says, avoid situations where you have to go into something by yourself, where you feel stressed about it. But it doesn't work, doesn't it? You simply can't change. And you can guess what the last thing the world around us says, doesn't it? Stop it. Stop being such a baby. Man up and just walk into the room. What does the Bible have to say? It says, I might feel alone, but Jesus is near. Because Paul has a remedy, doesn't he, there in verse 5, and it's the key to understanding the whole passage. Because here is the ultimate outworking of the gospel. The Lord is near. Paul probably has got two things in mind there. Throughout the letter to the Philippians, he's saying again and again and again, Jesus is coming back to make everything right. You just look back at chapter 3 and verses 20 to 21 to see that the nearest example. Our citizenship is heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Paul says Jesus is coming back, he's near, because he's going to come back and make everything right. And Paul's probably got in mind there in verse 5 as well, the fact that God has promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you, Jesus says, doesn't he, Matthew 28, until the very end of the age. And therefore, because the Lord is near, it means we never have to go into any situation on our own. But we always have a kind, loving, heavenly Father who is with us and for us. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, that's just, how's that going to help me practically? Well, if you think about it, it radically changes everything. When you're anxious about that situation of meeting new people or going to new places on your own, you know, the thing that you're anxious about really is that those people might reject you. Or that you might mess up, or that they might not like you. But because the Lord is near, you know that the creator of the universe is at your side and loves you the same as he loves Jesus. You will never be rejected. You will never be alone and unloved. And when you're worried about that situation at work, that you're scared of making a catastrophic mistake, if you're truly united to Jesus, you can never mess up enough to be rejected. You might get sacked. Life might not be easy, but you are still a beloved child of the one who is working every situation out for your good and for his glory. Here in verse 5 and throughout this passage, as we'll see, Paul brings us the joy of knowing that because God is gracious and kind and loving beyond our imagination, we can avoid paralyzing anxiety. And we can know God's peace because in every circumstance he is with us to comfort and strengthen us. And he will return to set all things right. And as we see our anxiety, we can take comfort that we will never, ever face anything alone. Because Jesus already faced the wrath of God alone, forsaken, so that we might be united to him. But you might say, well, okay, I'm not alone, but what really makes me feel anxious is I can't control it. I'm not in control. We like to be in control, don't we? Perhaps you've been to a job interview or you're thinking about going to a job interview. The letter comes through and you're really excited that you've got this interview. And then you start worrying about all the things that could go wrong. The traffic could be horrendous on your way. The train could be late. You could fall ill on the day. There might be other brilliant candidates who are far better than you. Perhaps there's going to be someone on the panel that you've worked with before who doesn't like you, or there's someone on the panel who just takes an instant dislike to you. Or, you know it's going to happen, don't you? You're going to get that one question you forgot to prepare for. Or maybe they'll just simply prefer somebody else than you and you won't get the job. And if you could control it, you'd feel a bit better. If you could be there and not have to worry about being late, if you could choose the panel, if you could choose the questions, if you could even set the criteria that they're looking for, you'd feel a lot better about that interview. If you could choose the other candidates, you'd feel even better, wouldn't you? We get anxious because we're not in control. Because we're worried that the things we can't control will scupper us. And we want to control them. We want to decide how things will go. We want everything to work out according to our plan. Because we've got a good plan. And the world again has really good wisdom for us here. Do you know what it says? Stop it. Focus on what you can control and don't worry about what you can't control. Ever heard that? Now, here's the point whether you can tell if you're an anxious person by temperament or not. If you think that's good advice, you're not an anxious person by temperament. Because basically it's saying, go against everything that you think and feel. Just stop it. The Bible has real wisdom here. It says you can't control it, but Jesus is King. You can't control everything because you're not supposed to. You are not King. God is. It isn't your plan. It's God's. He's in charge. You're not. And the great thing Paul says to us here is that's a good thing. Because he says when we come to the Lord in prayer, verses 6 and 7, we're coming to a God who controls all things. We're coming to the King of the universe. It's why Paul has this amazing little word, and, in verse 7. He says, verse 6, as we bring our prayers to God, as we bring our hearts and pour out our anxieties to the Lord, when we do that, he gives us his peace. Because we bring prayers to a God who is in complete control. Therefore, we have peace. That "and" is important. Because as we bring our prayers believingly and trustingly to a God who is in complete control, we can rest in his sovereignty. He can control it. He does control it. Every single little aspect. Which candidates are there? What the weather's like? What your bug is feeling like that day? Who's on the panel? You can multiply it. And we can rest in his plan. He's got it all worked out. And we can rest in his purpose. As we bring our prayers to a God who is in complete control, we can have peace and rest in his purpose, that he's making us like Jesus. It might not go according to our purpose, but he's got a better plan. And unless you have a God who is in complete control, you can have no peace. But when you do have a God who is in complete control and loves you, there's a very real sense in which you can face anything that comes. Because instead of just random difficulty and horror and anxiety, all of it is the plan of God for his glory and for your good. But that takes effort, doesn't it, to believe that and to think that. And that's why Paul's so keen for us to bring our prayers to God in verse 6. Because it doesn't come naturally, does it? It's at the very heart of our sinful hearts. I am king. I want to be in control. And so we've got to work hard at getting this into our heads. We've got to work hard individually and collectively to build that culture of dependency, to spend time thinking and meditating on God's sovereignty and God's goodness, to pray and to pray, and to pray believing, trustful, thankful, verse 6, prayers. Prayers that point us away from our own hearts and away from our own feelings to the glory and the sovereignty of God. Even when it's hard to believe. And especially when it's hard to believe that truth. Pray that God's will be done in your life. And ask for grace that you might trust him whatever comes. So I can't control it, but Jesus is king. Because as we look at Jesus at the cross, he knew God's plan. He knew God was in control. He knew God would bring his glory and his people's good out of that. And therefore, he went to the cross. But think of Gethsemane. As it was hard for him to see the reality of that. And he was overwhelmed with sorrow, even to death. And so he prays, "Let this cup pass from me." But because he knows the Lord is king, he prays, "Not my will, but yours be done." So perhaps we get that. Perhaps we get that God is in control, but still we might say this: I don't like it. Because we might still know anxiety, might we? God is with us, and God is for us, and God is in control. But what if he brings me through difficult times? Hard times? Experiences that you're going to have, and you know God is going to bring good out of it, but you're never going to enjoy it. You get anxious because you know while these things might even be good for you, while they will bring glory to God, you're going to hate every single second of it. Maybe it's one of the big things that maybe it's the death of a loved one, or a cancer diagnosis, or you're facing that operation that you know is going to hurt and is going to radically alter your life. And so you get anxious because you know you're not going to enjoy it. And no less real, maybe you're going to get feedback on an aspect of your work tomorrow morning. that you know you've not done very well. It's not going to be nice. It's going to be good because you'll improve. It's not going to be nice. Maybe you're just thinking about the time you've got to spend with the wider family at Christmas. I don't know. You know it's good for you. Not my family. We don't want to go through them, even though ultimately we know that it's right. Perhaps Woody Allen's famous words that you'll have heard before sum it up best. I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens. And that sums up a lot of the things we feel anxious about it. And again, we come to that wisdom of the world. What does the world say? It says, stop it. Get over yourself. That's life. Life's unfair. Life's hard. Just get over it. If you've not heard that, you're very lucky. Or it says, avoid it. Avoid those things that stress you out. Avoid your triggers. Avoid your stressful situations. Avoid those things you're not going to enjoy. Well, one, you can't. And two, again, it just pushes the problem away and you never deal with your anxiety. Paul says here in these verses, you can know peace, you can even know joy in your stressful, anxious, unpleasant circumstances. He says, you've got to change your perspective. I don't like it, but Jesus is joy. Look at verse 4. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You know what that sounds like as you first read it? It sounds like stop it, doesn't it? Rejoice, even though life's rubbish. But that's not what Paul's saying. He's saying that in order to have peace in difficult situations, in order to overcome that anxious feeling, you've got to work at joy. And specifically, you've got to work at finding your joy in the right place. Because the reason we get anxious about not liking things is because we're trying to find our joy in our circumstances. And then when they're bad, we're distraught. Paul says if we're truly finding our joy in Jesus, all right, we're not going to enjoy the circumstances, but we can have peace in those circumstances because the circumstances don't rule our life. Look at how he says you've got to work hard at them. Rejoice. It's a command. It's also an invitation, but it is a command because we've got to work at it. And how do we do that? Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. When we go to Student Plus on a Sunday night, we have a big wall and we write up all the things that we're thankful for. And at the end of the evening, that's great to see all the ways God has blessed us. We've got to remind ourselves how good God is and find our joy in Him. Paul says, focus, verse 8, on whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever's trustworthy. Where do we ultimately find that? In Jesus. We've got to take our eyes and fix them on Jesus, that our hope might be in Him. Because whatever happens, if our hope and our joy is in Jesus, whatever happens, that deep down joy, not happy or sad, but deep down joy, is secure in Him. Why did Jesus face the most unpleasant situation ever? Why did Jesus go to the cross and have the wrath of God poured out upon Him? Hebrews 12 tells us, doesn't it? For the joy set before Him. Do you know what the joy set before Jesus was? It was to hear His Father's voice say, well done, good and faithful servant. And it was to hear those words said about you as well. Where's your joy? If we want to avoid anxiety, we've got to find it in Jesus. Briefly, two more. I'm under attack. Perhaps we get anxious because we feel under attack. Because if we want to feel and enjoy real peace in our anxiety, we've got to recognise that anxiety is not just a physical or a mental or even an emotional thing. It's a spiritual thing as well. Anxiety is not just something we bring on ourselves or that circumstances squeeze out of us. We battle against spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. That's what Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, isn't it? Satan loves to get people paralyzed by anxiety. People ineffective in living for Jesus and showing him to the world. And so he's constantly attacking us with anxious thoughts, anxious situations, difficulties. Again, just briefly, what does the world say? He says, stop it. Don't be stupid. Believe in fairy stories. It's all chemicals or bad behaviour or because your dad didn't give you a kiss when you were 7. Take your tablets. Change your behaviour. That's what the world says, isn't it? Stop it. Grow up. Now, tablets and cognitive behaviour therapy are needed for some people. They're vital. They're good things. But we got to realise that there's more than that. That we're spiritual beings. And we're in a spiritual war. Anxiety is like that dirty bomb that Satan uses to steal our joy, to obliterate our hope, and to smash our effectiveness. But Paul has joy, has hope for us, even in this. He says you might need to change your behaviour, you might need to change your thought patterns, there might be chemical problems, but even though you're under attack, Jesus is mighty. You need to trust that the Lord is good. You need to depend on that. And when you do that, when your heart cries to God, as Paul does in verse 6, as you bring every single anxious situation to him, believingly and trustingly that he will change you in these circumstances, verse 7 helps us. As we bring those prayers, the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. As we bring our prayers to God, as we rejoice in his loveliness, as we rest in his sovereignty, as we rest in his nearness, he guards us from the attacks of the enemy. That word guard there, it means garrison. It means a whole massive army unit slammed down into your life, fighting off the enemies. The Philippians knew what this was like. They were a little Rome. They had the elite, basically the SAS of the Roman army, the Praetorian Guard. They had a garrison there protecting them. They could rest safe. They didn't have to worry about being attacked by enemies because they saw the Roman soldiers protecting them. It was as safe as if they were in Rome. Paul says, as we bring our prayers and requests to God, God protects us with his peace from our anxiety. And so as Satan attacks us, as he says, you're not a Christian, God doesn't love you, God doesn't want your best, you turn to him and you say, you can't win because I'm safe in Christ. He rules even over you. You can only do what he allows, and ultimately the worst you can do is bring about God's purposes to bless me and bring my good. There's a quote in your bulletin from Tim Keller. Something like, I haven't got it in front of me, something like, God says to the anxious, I tore my son to shreds for you. Because Satan gets in your head, you're worried, I won't bring your best, I won't bring your good, I won't give you what you need. We need hearts that turn around and say that. You can rest. You can know real peace. Because there is a very real sense that under God's sovereignty, the worst the devil can do is bring about your good and God's glory. Just finally and briefly, we might still feel anxious. You might say, I still feel anxious. Of course you're going to. You're in a fallen world. You're a sinner. You forget God's promises. You might go through times of paralyzing anxiety. And let's not stop it on the head forever. Sometimes we need to tell people these behaviors need to change. You need to stop them. But let's stop saying to each other, just stop it. Because it's not enough. But we can fight against anxiety only if by God's grace we make a determined choice to set our mind on Jesus, to focus Him, to make Him the object of our thoughts and desires, to rejoice in who He is, what He has done, what He is doing in you now in these horrible circumstances. And what He will return to do, to wipe every anxious tear away from your eye. To bring everything that we're anxious about to the Lord. To pour out our hearts to Him. Not in self-pity of, oh Lord, isn't my life terrible, but in determined, believing prayer. And as Jesus brings us peace, we need to take advantages of the benefits He's given us of each other. Look at what Paul says after he's told them about how to have peace and how to trust the Lord and to fix our eyes on Jesus. Verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. Seems rather arrogant that, doesn't it? Watch me, I know how to do it. No, that's not what Paul's saying. He's saying God has put around you people you can learn what Christian peace looks like. I don't know about anybody else, but I've learned what Christian peace looks like by watching people in this room. I know that these people would say, I don't have peace, I'm very anxious. But their example of clinging on to the Lord in their anxiety has shown me what Christian peace is. Those of you who've been through bereavement, through cancer, through horrible situations with family, through work hopes and disappointments. Yes, I've seen people struggle and have anxious times. But I've also seen them face down that anxiety with a firm trust in the Lord Jesus and get on and do great things for God's glory. So in anxiety, let's stand firm, trusting in a Saviour who will never leave or forsake us. The loving Lord of peace. Who says that as you frenetically struggle with your anxiety, come to me, all you are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Fix your eyes on the cross and see the one who is peace. Who took your sin that you might have peace with God. The one who came to die that you might come with Him to glory and eternal life and peace. You might know the promise of peace from a Father who will never leave you or forsake you, but who will guard your heart and mind in His Son by His Spirit's power as we put our hope in Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the wonder of the gospel, that we can know peace in our Lord Jesus. Would You give us hearts and eyes to look on Him, to rejoice in Him, and to know the goodness, reliability, and faithfulness of Your promises. Father, when we are anxious and worried, give us eyes to look to our Saviour who reigns, who is our joy, who is mighty and near, that we might have peace in Him, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.